यशोमति नन्दन व्रजवरण
So, Hare Krishna to all the devotees there at ISKCON Brampton. Thank you so much for inviting me to your Sangha. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindaki jai. श्री श्री राधा दामोदर भगवान की जय, जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय, सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय, श्री श्री गौनिताय की जय, लक्ष्मी नृसिंहदेव भगवान की जय, प्रहलाद महाराज की जय, गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय, जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय, इस्कॉन वर्तमान गुरुवृंद की जय, हरे कृष्णा. सो टुडे आई हैव बीन आस्क्ड टू स्पीक ऑन दिस very interesting topic, community building, how to have a beautiful, flourishing, vibrant, nourishing community. Now, having said that, it's so difficult and a challenging task to have something like this in Kali Yuga, especially so given the qualities that the people of Kali Yuga have. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse Number 10, Prayena Alpa Ayusha, says the people of Kali Yuga, they are short-lived, short lives, and they are kalaha, quarrelsome, and they are lazy, and they are misguided. And the lack of clarity, lack of conviction, lack of determination, always all the time distracted. So many such wonderful qualities that we already have in Kali Yuga, and then to have among this situation a beautiful community is definitely a challenging task. So how do we accomplish it? What is community? Basically, if we see community means people who have group of people or people who share the same common principles or common interest or anything which is in common. Now, what's common in among all the devotees? Because any community to be strongly bound, every individual inside that community has to share the same kind of a passion and attachment to the common principles or common things that is holding all of them together. And to the degree that every individual is attached to that common goal, to that degree that particular community is stronger. So what is bonding all of us together? The worldwide communities. Definitely Srila Prabhupada is one common factor. And of course, our attachments to Krishna. He's the center of our life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. And our scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Bhagavad Gita. And of course, the Harinam that we do, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So like that, these are certain common principles or common factors that bond all of us together. Now, in Krishna consciousness, or to have a Krishna conscious flourishing community, there are three important pillars. When these three pillars, foundation pillars, are strong, then the whole community will be very vibrant and flourishing. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these three pillars are Namaruchi, Vaishnav Seva and Jivadaya. So if the individuals in the community are individually also following it, these three things in their life very sincerely and collectively, then the community will flourish in a very beautiful way. So coming for the first one, what is this Namaruchi? Attachment towards chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If every individual is sincerely doing his Shravanam and is sincerely doing his Kirtanam, then he will be empowered, he'll be powerful, he'll be pure, he'll have clarity in thinking. And if every individual is like that, and when they all come together, the community also will become strong. So Namaruchi, hearing and chanting. Actually, the moment somebody comes into Krishna consciousness, the moment somebody steps into Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada has given us all boarding passes to take the flight back to Goloka. The only difference is the flight is going to take off after we leave this body, after death. But the whole problem we face is the boarding pass is given. The seat is confirmed. The seat number is also given. 3A, 4C, whatever. We are ready with the boarding pass. But the problem is, all the while we are sitting with the boarding pass, we are thinking, is it really going to be helpful or it's simply a piece of paper? Or will I, can I really board the flight with this paper? We are doubtful. And at times, Maya keep coming and knocking and telling us, it's wasting. Waste paper, give it back to me, give it back to me. And sometimes we also almost get convinced to give back the boarding pass to Maya. But then Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. When we do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and we hear Bhagavatam, then when we hear Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam says, stop, don't give back your boarding pass. It's going to work. Just have patience. You know, when you live in Krishna consciousness, the moment you leave this body, your seat is confirmed in Goloka Airways. So, if individual members of the community are regularly hearing, they are regularly reading, then there is enthusiasm, then there is determination, then there is, you know, utsaha, dhairya, nischaya, all good qualities will manifest. So, hearing and chanting, one who does regularly. So, this is one important principle of nama ruchi. If the center of our lives is Krishna, like Prabhupada always said, if the root of the tree is watered properly, then all the leaves, branches, twigs, everything is going to get water. If center of our life is Krishna, then everything is going to be happy. Everybody is going to be happy and satisfied. In a community, when we are trying to simply satisfy each other, we'll never be able to do it because we are all not perfect beings. There are some imperfections. But when we all try together to serve the perfect Krishna, I mean, we are all imperfect, and all these imperfect people come together to satisfy the perfect Krishna, then the whole relationship becomes perfect and beautiful. So, nama ruchi. We have, see, the whole point is, in this material world, from the very beginning of our life, from childhood, we have been trained to think of how am I going to be benefited, what is there in this for me. And with that kind of training and mentality, if we get inside a community, we spoil the community also. See, when we get inside, now in the material world, you have these clubs. Now, sometimes people mistake Krishna club with some other country club or some other clubs or a JC's club or a Lions club or a whatever. But the thing is, this is very different. In those clubs, also there is common interest. In those clubs, also people get together. That's also a community. But the difference is, in that community, every individual is thinking, what is there in that for me? That is why you see, when the club membership is advertised, they will say, you will get to watch free movies, you will get a free guest house, you will get, you know, you can swim in the club swimming pool, you can do this, you will get this. So this is what you get. But when you come to Krishna community, then there is no getting this. You have to give up. And you have to give this. So this whole point of selflessness here. And when those factors are being explained and understood by each community member properly, then the whole thing will become very beautiful. But if somebody carries the same mentality inside the Krishna community also, then it's going to be a disaster. Because the problem is, we use the same vehicle, but we are only simply changing the goal. For example, what has happened with all of us is, we were driving our car towards hell by engaging in materialistic activity. Then suddenly this one gentleman, this saint, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, came in our life and said, look, that's the way to hell. So we just did a U-turn to our car, and then now we're moving in the opposite direction. But the problem is, the car is still same, and you are still same, and your driving style is still same. Only thing is, you were driving towards right, now you are driving towards left. So there are every possibility that even after coming into a spiritual community, you may still, you know, you are still carrying your same tendencies. because the goal has changed but the vehicle is same. So what sanskaras you've been carrying from your previous life, what sanskaras you have accumulated in this life from childhood up to this date, what habits you have accumulated are still there. Only thing, you have changed your goal, you just changed the direction of the car, but the car is still same car. So we have to work so much on it, because it's not only about changing direction, we have to change everything. That means we have to understand our vehicle, see what we are lacking in, take proper guidance, and change our driving habits, change our attitude. Everything has to be done, then only a community will become beautiful. Otherwise, different people from different backgrounds, different mentalities, more than helping each other, they may discourage each other, so sometimes I see initially everything goes very nice and very happy, but the moment the selfishness creeps in, everybody wants to see what am I going to get out of this and how am I benefited, and they want to take advantage of the community, then slowly the community withers away. So all this happens because of lack of sambandha jnanam. If the sambandha jnana, what is my relationship to Krishna? What is my relationship to Krishna? How am I supposed to act according to it? What's the goal of my life? These devotees are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is also inside them. Whatever is happening with me is because of my karma. This is my nature, self-introspection. All these things happen. And then every individual contributes in a beautiful way towards a flourishing community. So all this will happen only if there is Shravanam and Kirtanam. If regularly somebody is hearing. Padma Puran says that you become 1% of that about whom you have been regularly hearing. So if you are regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then even if we get 1% of quality of Krishna and his devotees, it will be miraculous. So the whole point is, one needs to be convinced that I am joining this Krishna's club to make Krishna happy. Outside club we join to make ourselves happy. Oh, I am going to enjoy free connection, free this, or this is a club membership, but here we join to make Krishna happy. So like Prabhupada, once a reporter asked Prabhupada that, why did Krishna create this world? And Prabhupada said, for enjoyment. And reporter was so happy hearing that word, oh, enjoyment, that means I can enjoy. And then next line Prabhupada said, for Krishna's enjoyment, not yours. So that one thing, if we are clear, that the whole point of our existence in this world is Krishna's enjoyment, and Krishna is the center of our life, and whatever we do from morning to evening is to please Krishna, then everything will become so beautiful. But because we have removed Krishna from the center of our life and we have placed ourselves, and that's where all problem happens, because we cannot satisfy ourselves, we cannot satisfy others, neither others can satisfy us, because we are all imperfect. The only thing that we can do is satisfy Krishna, and then everybody gets automatically satisfied. So namaruchi, hearing and chanting. Even in Goloka, our only job there is to please Krishna. So if we get trained here to compromise our desires to fulfill Krishna's desire, or to align our life according to Krishna's plan, and if we train ourselves into this now here, then only we can go to Goloka Vrindavan, because that is one place where everybody is doing nothing but trying to make Krishna happy, aligning their lives according to Krishna's desire. So this will happen when we, that is why Srila Prabhupada, though ISKCON was formative years, very beginning, sometimes in some temple the most senior devotee in the temple was one who had joined 6 months back. Even that kind of situations also, like I heard one pastime of how Srila Prabhupada had established deities in Australia, wherein there was no senior devotee, hardly the senior most devotee was 6 months old, who joined. But why was Srila Prabhupada establishing deities? Because the whole point is that he wanted that Krishna should be the center of everybody's lives. Even if they are not so well trained. In fact, there is one letter exchange between Srila Prabhupada and one of his disciples, where Prabhupada is asking him, how are you? And he replies, Prabhupada, I am doing very well, and I am doing regularly my service, and I am a pujari here, and I am taking care of the deities very nicely, but I just have one question, who are these three deities whom I am worshipping? if you can just let me know that one thing, that's the only question I have. Now imagine that he doesn't even know whom he is worshipping, but he's worshipping nicely as trained by others. Now that was the situation, but still Srila Prabhupada made sure that so many deities around the world, wherever he established temple, because he wanted that everybody's center of life should be Krishna, because Krishna is like the Chintamani stone. Anyway, if somebody gets connected to him, whether taking his prasadam or seeing his form or hearing his katha or meeting his devotees or serving his deity form or cleaning his temple or collecting funds for him or stitching clothes for him or decorating him or just about any way, jeno tenu prakarena, somehow or the other, if they just get connected to Krishna, then they will be purified. And that Prabhupada knows. So he made sure, okay, if there is deities, then our matter, our talking, everything will be centered around the deity. Get bhoga for deity, cook for deity, offer to deity, lights for deity, this to deity, get up in the morning, bathe the deity, abhishek for deity, festivals for deity. And that's how our life has been designed in this beautiful movement of ISKCON. So, see, even in this material world, if you want to build a house, you need some money, some lakshmi, some finances. If you have finances, you can buy a property, buy a land, get some construction done. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness also, if you want to build something, let's say you want to build a community, then you need finances, you need assets. And what are those finances and assets? That is Naam. If somebody is chanting Naam, then they get empowered. Then only some beautiful community can manifest. Any community that we are seeing around the world is all happening because of some devotees' pure chanting. Otherwise, it cannot manifest. Wherever we are seeing 800,000 centers around the world of ISKCON, there is some devotees who are sincerely chanting and making sure, you know, and making this beautiful community, and then more people get added, and then more people get added. And unless and until somebody is sincerely doing the chanting and hearing, it will not manifest. It will not happen. Because when somebody chants, they get connected to Krishna, only then they can attract others into Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Just like an iron, when it is in close contact with the magnet, slowly it acquires the quality of magnet. And after that, you bring anything next to the iron, it will attract it. So similarly, if somebody is in constant touch with Krishna's name, Krishna's prasad, Krishna's form, then they also become empowered, and then they attract other people towards Krishna. And that's how the whole beautiful community comes into existence, you know. It's like a game we used to play in childhood, you know. You touch this person. I don't know if anybody in Brampton has played this, but in India, children play this game, you know. You are the donor, and you just go and touch somebody, and that they become part of you. And then you hold their hand, and then she touches somebody, and they become a part of you. And that's how the whole long chain happens. So this is how it is. So that is why you see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for 9 years, he didn't start any community, nothing. For 9 years, simply in Navadvip, every single day, he was chanting 192 rounds. And then one Friday he was ready. Yes, now I'll start a community. Then he just went to Calcutta, and you know the story of Kunja Babu. He just goes and knocks on his door, and he says, okay, a couple of years back you had come to me and you said you wanted to help me to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm ready now. Are you ready? And he says, yes. I said, come on. By evening they registered the Gaudiya Math. And then we know how all over India he opened 64 branches of Gaudiya Math. Tuck, 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 it happened. But before that, the whole foundation. Sometimes you can't see almost all the time, you can't see the foundation pillars. What you simply see is the building. But this whole building is on the foundation. So you can't see it, but without that, it doesn't exist. So this chanting and hearing is like the foundation of any community. Even if the community has the most beautiful people, the most beautiful natured, very loving and very sweet people, but if there is no strong foundation of Shravanam and Kirtanam, it won't last long. It will not last long. If there is no foundation to the building, even if you decorate it with the best of chandeliers and the best of lighting, and with a little storm and a little rain, the whole building will crumble down. So when there is no strong sadhana, then the whole community may crumble down anytime. Any small wave comes, or any strong wind, and it's going to crumble down. So chanting. So if somebody desires that yes, our community should be beautiful, should be strong, then one has to focus on Shravanam and Kirtanam. In fact, I was reading one very beautiful research made by a sociologist. How can we have strong, in fact, almost all of them who have written books on community, how should we have a strong community, they've all come up with this. Of course, they list out many other factors like organizational structure, strong financial basis, but this one important point they all talk about is, and especially this one lady I was hearing, and she was saying the glue factor, and she said there's glue factor, and now just here it will be so surprising. And she says, what is this glue factor in any community? She says, the secret of any community to be strong, they should eat together. And when I was hearing that, okay, yeah, we're already doing it. We all take prasadam together. And then she said, they should be story time together. Now, we're already having Srimad Bhagavatam classes every single day. And then she said, we should sing together. And we're already doing it, morning, evening, aarti. And then the last thing she said, and they should dance together. And we're already doing it in the Kirtan. So imagine even normal Karmi people, even they have come up with this conclusion after so much research that the glue factor in any community is they eat, sing, dance, talk, discuss together, then they will be strongly bond together. And Prabhupada has already given us that program of reading Bhagavatam regularly, sitting, dancing, eating, taking prasadam and festival together. So this is about Namaruchi. Develop the taste of hearing and chanting, encourage each other in hearing and chanting, and keep Krishna as our center of our lives. In fact, if somebody is worshipping Krishna and keeping Krishna in the center of their life, they become so powerful. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, there is this one episode where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going for South Indian Yatra, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is just bidding him farewell. So he says to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, please bless me so that I come back safely back to Puri. Now this is controversial. Why will a sannyasi ask a blessing of a grihastha? Of course, we know he's a supreme personality of God, but still, according to the Lokachar also, why is a sannyasi is asking blessing of a grihastha? So there is a clarification, because he's not an ordinary grihastha, he's a grihastha who center of whose life is Krishna. Because he's worshipping Krishna, that's why his blessings are very much required. Even a sannyasi can take blessings of such a person who is having the center of his life as Krishna. So imagine if we hear and chant and worship Krishna, how empowered each individual becomes. And then all these individuals, when they come together and they collectively also do hearing and chanting, how powerful that community becomes. So that's the first principle, Namaruchi. We'll go to the second principle, serving Vaishnavas. When Shravanam and Kirtanam is good, then only this Vaishnava Seva will happen. And when Vaishnava Seva is good, then only Shravanam Kirtanam will happen. If you don't have good relationships among the Vaishnavas, you can't do Shravanam and Kirtan properly. Imagine you had a fight with somebody and some Mataji, and she said that and he said that and she said that, and then you were sitting and chanting and almost all the time that's coming to your mind, and then and you're so unhappy, and then you can't even concentrate on proper chanting and hearing. So, but again, if your hearing and chanting is not regularly done, then you will have that fault finding mentality, and you will almost all the time keep seeing fault in others, because there'll be no maturity, no hearing of Bhagavatam. You become very sensitive. Anybody says anything, you just get upset, because there's no control of senses, because the senses are not dovetailed into Krishna's service. So now the senses, you're trying to take service from the senses. Now the senses make you dance. They want to eat this, do that. So it's a disaster. So these are both connected. So good relationships, you have good sadhana. At the same time you have good sadhana, then you'll have good relationships. So both has to be simultaneously worked upon under the shelter of a mentor. So Vaishnava Seva. When we do Vaishnava Seva, that is also such empowerment. In fact, if you see in Krishna Leela, this is one very special thing happening. Kamsa is on the chariot and Devaki and Vasudeva are sitting behind. And Kamsa is taking them after they just got married. And then there is this Akashvani, the celestial voice, the devatas, the demigods are warning, hey Kamsa, you are taking your sister with so much love and affection, but her eighth son is going to kill you. Now somebody may say, why do the devatas have to do this just now? They could have do it after one day. She just got married. Okay, at least after 1 week. It's not that she's going to give birth tomorrow. They could have waited. Why immediately, the moment he starts the chariot, immediately the devatas, you know, make this announcement? Now somebody said, because they were afraid of Kamsa, they wanted to warn him. But one Vaishnava Acharya gave very good commentary. He said, you know why the devatas did that? Because they were worried Kamsa is doing Vaishnava Seva. He's taking Devaki and Vasudev and driving them just like a chariot driver. And if he does Vaishnava Seva, then he'll become more powerful. So stop him from doing Vaishnava Seva. So they immediately announced, stop Kamsa. You know, Devaki's eighth son is going to kill you. And then Kamsa immediately stopped Vaishnava Seva and started doing Vaishnava Aparad. Then the devatas were happy. Okay, now it's okay. Because if he does Vaishnava Seva, and that also Seva to the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then maybe Krishna may change his mind. Because one problem with Krishna is, the moment he sees somebody is doing Vaishnava Seva, that person can purchase him. So they were afraid Kamsa would have purchased Krishna. Hey, I have done Vaishnava Seva. Krishna would have changed his mind and not killed Kamsa. That was the worry of the devatas. So Vaishnava Seva, that is such a beautiful principle. When we serve Vaishnavas, Krishna becomes so happy with us. And the whole point is, actually it is such a selfish thing. Because we need them. We need Vaishnavas. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Ekaki amar nahi paaye bal harinam sankirtan. Oh, alone I can't serve Krishna. I need help from... So he is such an elevated devotee. He is talking about it. So what can be talking about you and me? We definitely need devotees. So we should do Vaishnava Seva. Nama Ruchi, doing hearing and chanting. And then the second step is having beautiful relationship with the Vaishnavas, doing Vaishnava Seva. And if these two principles are strong, then comes Jivadaya. So Vaishnava Seva should be doing. And also, see, the thing is, we may be good at something, and then some other devotee may be good at something else, and then some other devotee may be good at something else. The whole point is, we need everybody. We need everybody in this. See, if you see in Chaitanya Charitamritam, there is this one pastime of Vasudev Datta. Now, Vasudev Datta is so elevated that he says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I want to take the sins of everybody in this world. Let me suffer perpetually in the hell. But all those who are in hell, everybody should be relieved. All should be happy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vasudev, you are Prahlad. You are none other but you are Prahlad. You know, such mercy you have for everybody. Now imagine such elevated person who is actually an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. At one point Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Shivananda Sen, this Vasudev, he doesn't know how to manage money. All the time he spends, you know, luxuriously here and there. So he's a grihastha, he needs to save money. So you better manage his finances. So Shivananda Sen was given the duty of managing Vasudev Datta's finances. That means, you know, in this devotee community, even if somebody is very highly elevated devotee, there's always some help you require from somebody. And then she requires something from you, and you require something from her. And that's how the whole thing works. That is why you see, even elevated devotees, when asked by Krishna, what do you want? When they saw Krishna mukhamukhi, face to face, they asked only one thing. I want to stay in devotee community. You see, Dhruva, he said, I want devotee association. Prahlad, he said, I want devotee association. I don't want to leave my Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni. I want devotee association. You see, Brahma, he says, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma says, I want to be part of this Vrindavan community. I want to stay here. You see, Uddhav, he says, I want to be in Vrindavan. Everybody wanted to be in Vrindavan. You see, why was the Vrindavan community so happy and flourishing? We never heard there was any problem in Vrindavan community. They didn't have any disputes. It was such a happy community under the leadership of Nanda Maharaj. Because the center of their life was Krishna. They had no other desire but to please Krishna. And that's why the whole Vrindavan community was so happy. So here we see all the elevated devotees. We see Bhakti Vinod Thakur's bhajans, Narottam Das Thakur bhajans. Time and again they mention this one thing. Kita janma ho jatha tuva das, bahir mukha janma brahm, bahir mukha brahma janmi nahi as. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, even if I am born as an insect, but in a devotee's house, then I am very happy. But if I am born as a brahma, even with four-headed brahma, but if I am not in devotee association, I don't want to be brahma. So all the elevated souls also, elevated personalities also asking for this one thing, that they want devotee association. So Vaishnava Seva. Just like a car cannot run without diesel or petrol, our spiritual life cannot run without Vaishnav Kripa. To get this Vaishnav Kripa, we have to engage in Vaishnav Seva. When we serve the Vaishnavas, they get pleased. When they get pleased, they bless us. And with their blessing, that's a fuel for our spiritual journey to move further. So Vaishnav Seva is one very important. And Vaishnav Seva is so powerful, we can accomplish things in Vaishnav Seva which otherwise we can't. And that's true in all of our lives. Just go back and see our beginning journey, how even 4 rounds was like, oh, can I chant 4 rounds? Then 8 and then 16, and then we started doing Ekadashi and then festivals and then yatras and now Bhakti Shastris and then preaching and distributing. How even, and it's all happened because of association of Vaishnavas, a community, their encouragement, and then somebody's doing it and you get inspired, and then that's how the whole thing, you know. And somebody who was till yesterday thinking, I can't even leave tea and coffee or can't stop non-veg, is today, you know, maybe amazing, doing amazing seva for Krishna. And this all happens because of Vaishnav Kripa. So one does Vaishnav Seva. So Vaishnav Seva should be done in proper cooperation, in proper mood. It's very important. Especially the you know, this community that we are in, it's not any normal community. We are actually like those emergency hospital services, you know, like you have those ICU or you have those operation theaters. We are like that, and we are all staff in there. And you know, just like in the operation theater, they bring out people who've been, you know, in highway accidents and they're all bleeding, and then they come inside, you know, and they're put on the operation table. And imagine at that time if the nurse and the doctors and they all start fighting, what will happen to the patient? Now, when we are in this preaching movement, when we are in ISKCON in this preaching movement, so many people come, you know, inside our community, they come to our temples. Now imagine if they see that we ourselves are fighting among ourselves, what will be their impression? They've all come tired and frustrated out of the, you know, in the material world, and they've come here for getting operated, to get cured, to get some relief. And then they see there is no harmony among the devotees in the community, then they'll get disappointed. This is something like you're doing a, you know, open heart surgery and you're just removing the, you know, heart and you're just trying to, you know, replace, and at that moment if the nurse and doctor are fighting, the patient will die. What we are simply doing is a heart surgery. People come here with a materialistic heart, and then we give them Krishna consciousness. They come with so much faith. But while doing that transplantation, if we just fighting among ourselves, then the patient dies, his faith dies, and then he thinks, oh, come on, outside world also they fight, devotees also fight, what's the use, I don't want to be part of this community. And then they lose the lifetime, I mean, many lives opportunity. After so many lives, they must have got this one opportunity to associate with devotees, and because of our behavior and attitude, we lose them, we lose the jiva. So it's so important, you know, that we have beautiful relationships in our community which are exemplary and attracts everybody to Krishna consciousness. Our behavior and our aura should be so beautiful that anybody who, you know, steps inside our community feels, oh, this is something special and I want to be part of this. People look so happy here. You know, Jayananda Prabhu, our Mr. Rathayatra, Prabhupada disciple, such a jolly devotee. So there was one devotee who was mentioning that even while picking up the trash, he used to be so jolly. And one new devotee just came to the temple and he was trying to help Jayananda Prabhu. And Jayananda Prabhu made a very beautiful statement. He said, see, so fortunate I am. Every day somebody else picks up the garbage. Somehow today the garbage collector didn't come. And I got the opportunity to pick up the garbage. Can you imagine? And here I am picking up the garbage. And this new devotee was surprised. Can somebody become so ecstatic in picking up the garbage also? If the garbage man of this temple is so happy, then what will be the thing with the devotees here? Oh, I want to become devotee today. So just collecting the garbage also, he was so animated and happy about it, that I have this opportunity to clean the garbage for Krishna today. So Vaishnav Seva, apart from Nama Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva, devotees in the devotee community, we should help each other. Para dukhe dukhi, if somebody is in trouble, just help each other. Like we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he was not getting mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But devotees tried their best. They went and they appealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, 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 Ramananda Rai and everybody, please bless Prataprudha, please bless Prataprudha. And finally, they made sure that Mahaprabhu showers his blessing on Prataprudha. And that should be the attitude of us in the community. Trying to help every individual. Okay, this devotee should have a beautiful relation with Krishna, and how can I help him in that? How can I help him to bring him more closer to Krishna, and bring him this person more closer to Krishna, and that person more closer to Krishna? And in that process, we become more closer to Krishna. I remember in my childhood, you know, in India, during the marriages, you know, the young girls, you know, beautiful girls, they'll dress up in, you know, nice clothes, and they'll stand, you know, in the entrance where the guests come in, and they sprinkle rose water. And I remember as a young girl, when my cousin sister got married, so me and all the other girls, we were standing, you know, at the gate, and we were sprinkling rose water. It was funny. I mean, it was like, it was fun activity for us, like little children sprinkling rose water on everybody who comes inside. And I remember at the end of it, I was smelling rose, because every time that I sprinkle, there are some drops which fall on me, and by the end of it, I was myself smelling like a rose, you know. And I'm thinking, this is such a beautiful thing. When we preach and when we help others to get closer to Krishna in this whole process, unconsciously we also get closer to Krishna, and we get more purified. So when we serve the Vaishnavas, and when we do chanting and hearing nicely, and then come to the third portion of our today's topic, the third pillar of having a beautiful community is Jivadaya. That is preaching. First, we purify ourselves. That means we put our oxygen mask. We improve our relationships, serve the Vaishnavas. And then we put oxygen mask for others. That means try and get more people connected to Krishna. So these are the three very important foundational pillars of any community. If we don't do preaching activities, then the community will become stagnant, because all of us have some or the other qualification. Somebody may be like a squirrel who put a little mud in the bridge made by Rama to go to Lanka, and then there were big elephants who put boulders and mountains and hills to, you know, help Rama to build the bridge. So we all have our little more or little capacity, but when we use that, then we also feel some kind of a satisfaction, whatever is our capacity. So every devotee should be given this opportunity of rendering some or the other service. So Jivadaya means, there are two kinds of daya here. One is the mother's love, and one is the father's love. The mother's love means, whoever in our community, whoever are there in our community, we should make sure that they are fine. Para dukhe dukhi, if they are in some kind of a trouble, then you give them a mother's love. Counsel them, help them, what is happening with their life. And then there is something called father's love. Father's love is to make sure that you engage them in some kind of a service where they feel that, yes, my service is required, I'm also important, I'm needed, my service is important. And if that is done, then the devotee will be so happy, safe and secured, feel sheltered in that community. But if a devotee is ignored, not given any service, then after some time he'll feel lost. Unless and until they serve, they will not feel part of a community. Some or the other service should be given, whatever little or big, according to their capacity and swabhava. But they should be engaged, and that's the duty of the community leader. See, Srila Prabhupada was so expert in engaging every single person in service. He could engage people like Giriraj Swami, who came from a very rich and aristocratic family, to somebody like Haridas Prabhu, who was a thief. He was a thief. He was in a prison. In the prison, he saw the Back to Godhead magazine, and he saw Prabhupada's photo with an expensive watch. And when he came out from the prison, his whole motive was to steal Prabhupada's watch. But somehow, Prabhupada stole his heart, and he became a devotee. But he told very frankly to Prabhupada one day that, Prabhupada, when you are dictating in the night your Bhagavatam translations, you and me are the only person in this whole Juhu temple who is awake, because you are not sleeping because you want to translate, and I am not sleeping because whole my life I have been a thief. So I am used to sleeping in the daytime and being awake in the night time because I have to steal from people. So now, because of my previous habit, I am unable to sleep. What should I do? So Prabhupada said, take a stick and chase the dogs away, because in in the night time the street dogs are making so much noise, they disturb in my translation. Whenever I'm recording in my recorder, those voices are also getting recorded, the barking of the dogs. So Haridas Prabhu was doing that, chasing the dogs away from the street, you know. So Prabhupada had that genius of engaging each and every devotee according to their swabhava and capacity in some or the other way to serve Krishna. So in a community where these things are happening, Namaruchi, chanting and hearing is happening properly, Vaishnava Seva is happening properly, and Jeevadaya, preaching is happening. That means everybody is engaged, you know, in a proper way, enthusiastically. Then that community is bound to flourish. But there's another point here. They say that all these three pillars are dependent on one very important foundation thing, and that is our attitude. And that's what Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction book. You see the preface, Prabhupada makes a statement. He says, advancement of Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So it depends on the attitude and values that we carry. If we have the right attitude, only then we can have Namaruchi. If we have the right attitude, then only we can do Vaishnav Seva. If we have the right attitude, then only we can do Jeevadaya. Otherwise, it will all make no sense. It will become mundane. So the right attitude and the right values. So another 15 minutes in this class, we'll speak about what are the right attitudes that we need to have so that these three pillars which are balancing on the attitude become more stronger. So the first thing is selflessness. At the beginning of the class I was mentioning that this selfless attitude, wonderful things can happen if people work together, if it doesn't matter who takes the credit for it. Most of the time we get twined with this credit thing. I'm working hard, will I get credit or not? But the moment, imagine in a community, nobody is bothered of who gets credit, but everybody just wants to do their 100%. How beautiful that community will be, and how wonderfully we can do, you know, how wonderfully they can, the output will be so beautiful. So if one can give up that attitude, our source of happiness should not be people around us. Our source of happiness and appreciation is Krishna. That means every time that you do service, okay, on a primary level, when you are new in Krishna consciousness, okay, you want some appreciation, okay. But if you only work for appreciation, it won't stay for longer. At the same time, we are not on that elevated level where we don't want any appreciation from anybody, because we are in such a level that sometimes we are thinking, how do I know if the Krishna is happy or not? If the devotees are happy and appreciating, that means I feel it's coming from Krishna and that makes me happy. But the problem is sometimes it will become the only focus. Then that again, you know, it's a distraction. It is a distraction. So we should understand that whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing simply for credit. That's my job. This is my service. This is my seva. And I want to please Krishna. And even if somebody recognizes or doesn't recognize my service, I know Krishna has seen what I've done, and that should satisfy us. So that faith should be there. So selflessness. The other point is, see, if you see one thing in Krishna Leela, the Govardhan Leela, Giriraj was serving the Vrajavasis, and Indra was also actually serving the Vrajavasis. All these years when they were doing Indra Puja, it was very simple. They used to do Indra Puja, Indra used to give them rains, with rains cultivation happens and everybody used to be happy. But you see, Govardhan is also serving the Vrajavasis, but selflessly. He is not expecting any worship. Govardhan did not expect that you worship me. So Govardhan was giving everything. He was giving caves and places where Krishna could do pastimes. And he would give grass, sweet green grass for the cows to eat. And he used to give minerals with which, you know, the Gopabalaks used sometimes make a design on Krishna's face. And he used to give beautiful groves where the gopis and Radharani and Krishna can have Leelas, and he used to give nice trees and shades, and he did everything, but so selflessly. He didn't expect anything in return. So what did Krishna do? Krishna lifted the Govardhan on above his head and gave so much respect to Govardhan, and Govardhan was worshipped. But what was Indra doing? He was giving, but he was expecting. Come on, respect me. Where's my puja? Do puja for me. What he got in return? Smashed. This is what happens. When we expectation, okay, now I did a great job, I want adoration, I want respect, you won't get it. But if you do it selflessly, then you get more than you deserve. More than you deserve. Krishna just lifted the Govardhan up, you know, and for not only one day, 2 days, for 7 days and seven nights, and till today, everybody glorifies Govardhan and praying to Govardhan and worshipping Govardhan. So, selfless seva done, Krishna acknowledges, and you get more than what you even, you know, thought of. So that is one. That is one beautiful attitude a devotee can maintain. Second thing is respecting. In a community, we should respect everybody. Right from somebody who is cleaning a temple to one who is collecting in lakhs and, you know, millions for the temple construction, to somebody who is stitching clothes, to somebody who is cooking, to somebody who is giving charnamrita, somebody who is distributing books. Everybody should be treated with respect. Sometimes over a period of time it happens that, you know, person who collects fund is given more importance, or person is doing, oh come on, he's bringing Lakshmi, so he's more important, or she's more important, or she's giving good classes, so she's very important. No, everybody is important. If imagine, you may be giving wonderful classes, but if the deities are not decorated nicely, the people who come to the temple, they'll not be attracted to the deities. Okay, you may be giving wonderful classes, but if the cooking it doesn't happen nicely, there is no nice prasadam, people are not going to get attracted. Whatever 5 minutes of preaching will do, if there are no books, you know, so nobody distributes books, then how will people come to know about Krishna consciousness? So everybody, if the temple is not clean, people will not appreciate if there is dirt around. That means every single devotee, whatever service they are doing, it's all preaching. Sometimes we think she's a preacher, he cooks. No, he's preaching by cooking. He's preaching by stitching. He's preaching by cleaning. He's preaching by serving children at home, you know, making them devotees so that they're going to preach in future. So those Matijis who are at home and taking care of their family such a beautiful way, cooking and cleaning and, you know, making their children Krishna conscious, they're doing such amazing service because they are raising children who are going to become the future preachers, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So everybody is serving. Everybody is serving. There's no, okay, this person is a preacher and she's not a preacher. Everybody is a preacher. And imagine you're not doing anything. But even if you yourself are pure and nice in your behavior and Krishna conscious, that is also preaching. Simply by your behavior, the way you talk, walk, speak, move, inspires others. Oh, I also want to be devotee. She's so happy in Krishna consciousness. So everybody is preaching in some or the other way. So respecting everybody, appreciating everybody. See, somebody may be a Maruti 800 car, or somebody may be a sports car. Sports car will go according to its speed, and a smaller car or a cheaper car will go according to its speed or its capacity. If you compare between these two cars, it will be so unfair. So unfair. That person is doing according to the best of its his capacity. See, the whole problem is in our life, 80% of our life is wasted on trying to become like somebody, or become like this person, or become like that person. The problem is, if really Krishna wanted you to become like that person, he would have made you like that person. The fact that he didn't make you like that person means that Krishna likes you this way. He's made everybody, you know. When does a garden look beautiful? Imagine you only have yellow roses in the garden, it's not going to look beautiful. You have yellow and then you have red and you have pink, and that makes the garden look beautiful. So there's somebody, some Mataji who knows very good cooking, and then some Mataji who can sing well, and somebody who can speak well, and somebody who can preach well, and that makes our community so beautiful. Imagine everybody can only speak well, then who's going to do the cooking? Imagine everybody can only cook well, then who's going to do the speaking? So the whole point is respect and appreciate everybody, each and everybody according to their capacity, whatever they're doing for Krishna. The next thing is adjusting. That attitude should be there, you know, because see, there is always going to be a conflict. The material world's weather is like that. There will be some or the other conflict. Nobody can say that in our community there is no conflict. The whole point is how well do you sort out that conflict? That adds the beauty to your community. Conflict will always be there. The whole Bhagavatam is full of conflicts. How Prithu Maharaj and Indra had conflict and Krishna had to sort out. How the Kauravas had conflict. Everybody had conflict. Every moment there was conflict. But how do you sort it out? That adds the beauty to your community. It should be sorted out in Krishna conscious way. And then, of course, I have some very beautiful points which were made by Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has given 64 principles of community building. I didn't take it up today because it's such a huge topic. We can't complete in, you know, one session. We need to have few sessions. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj gave a commentary to those 64 principles. And I just took 3-4 points which I personally like a lot, and I'm just repeating it for you. Maharaj made one very beautiful statement. He said, treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interaction with them. He said, how our attitude should be, every time that we are dealing with somebody, we should deal so carefully, and you should give so much importance to that dealing as if my whole spiritual life is dependent on the quality of the way I interact with this devotee. That much importance should be given, because you see, these Vaishnavas are not normal people. These are Vaikuntha Priya. Durlabha Manava Deho Dehinam Shanabhanguram Tatravi Durlabham Manye Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam. In Maharaj Nimi's conversation with the Nava Yogendras, this verse comes up. Says that it is very rare to get a human birth, but more rare is to get an association of a devotee. But because in ISKCON we get association so easily, sometimes you just take it for granted. It's okay, I don't like her, I don't like she, but so rare. Actually, every time that you look at a devotee, you should think, she's so special because Krishna is in her heart. Oh no, my God, she's so special because she cooks for Krishna and she has a special relationship with Krishna. So she's special for Krishna. So how can I, even if she is not behaving nicely with me, but she's important for Krishna because she cooks for Krishna or she serves Krishna or she's serving Krishna's devotee. So she's important for me no matter what way she behaves, because Krishna is in her heart and she is serving Krishna. So she is Krishna's guest. She is Krishna's relative. So I have to be nice to her. So that is our mentality. So this is what Maharaj is saying here. Every single person should be treated like that. And then he said, if you're not able to do that, he said, think of somebody in your mind whom you love a lot. Okay, this one Mataji, I like her so much, so much, so much. Now imagine if she was here, how would I have spoken to her? How would I have behaved with her? That same way you behave with everybody, keeping her in mind. So that will also improve our communication and behavior with others in the community. And of course, there's so many other beautiful points Maharaj made, but the one biggest problem in our Krishna conscious movement which just pulls us back is Vaishnava Prad. And Vaishnava Prad is the biggest sense gratification. It's the biggest sense gratification, because actually the process is pretty simple. Take prasad, chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, worship deities, and you're going to go back home, back to Godhead. So where's the problem? The whole problem is Vaishnava Prad. We keep on doing Vaishnava. It's something like we run 100 steps and we work hard like marathon, and then we do one Aparad and we again fall down. It's like a snakes and ladder game. You go up to 99 and then the snake of Vaishnava Prad bites you, and then you again have to start from number one, put the dice again. If you have played that game, snakes and ladder, that's what is happening with us. The problem is, when we look at the other's fault, we look at it with the microscope. When we look at our own fault, we look at it with telescope. No, I can't see. Oh, actually, this was what has happened. That's why I behave like this. We have so many justifications. You know, we become a lawyer for ourselves, but for others, we become a judge. No, I'm sure this is why she did like that. This is what she behaved like that. We become judge. But for ourselves, we become lawyers. We justify. The other point is, we should be sensible, balanced and flexible. If you want a community to flourish, you should be sensible. There should be empathy. Try to understand what the others are going through. What are the others feeling? Give them a benefit of doubt. Put your legs in their shoes and see what must be happening to them. And be flexible. Not be so rigid about Krishna consciousness. This is what is said. This is what is said in Bhagavatam. Sometimes you may have to be, you know, there's a mother who's changing diapers the whole night, and maybe she can't come for Mangalarti. You're not coming to Mangalarti. You're not a devotee. You know, you have to be more flexible. keeping the mind whatever situation people are going through. So friends to all, have good relations with everybody and tolerate. Somehow we should tolerate and be in the community. The whole point is, sit in the train and it will take you to Goloka Vrindavan. The only thing you have to do is, don't jump out of the train. That's all. Don't jump out of the window. What we keep doing is on and off, you know. Sometimes we are enthusiastic inside the community and sometimes I am like, I can't just tolerate anymore and I'm going out. But the problem is, our situation is like those Vrajavasis. Krishna has put them all under the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. And if they move out of Govardhan one step, then Indra's Vajra, Indra's clouds are going to attack them. The only choice they have is, they have to be under the shelter of Giriraj, then they are safe. This is the situation with us. We have to be under the shelter of ISKCON. This is Srila Prabhupada has made this big ISKCON like a Giriraj for us. The moment, you know, we feel, oh, I'm inconvenient here, and you just go out, you're going to be attacked by Maya. This is the only safe place. And even if there are some inconveniences, but as Prabhupada says, tolerate the temporary inconvenience for permanent happiness. This is something very, you know, waiting for us. For that, we have to tolerate a little bit. She has to tolerate me and I have to tolerate her. And we just have to tolerate each other. That's it. And for some time. And then we are going to be back home, back to Godhead. So like that. And then don't forget the goal. That's very important. Sometimes in this whole process, we actually forget, why did we come to Krishna consciousness? Because in the beginning days, everything is very green and nice. We like people, we like devotees, we like kirtan, we like everything. And then the whole thing starts when we become a little jnanam comes up, little knowledge comes up. And then we start, you know, more than love finding, we become fault finders, you know, fault in everybody. We find faults. And then we actually forget, why did I come to Krishna consciousness? Like Vaisheshika Prabhu puts very beautifully, over the period of time, we start thinking that my life is for correcting others. We forget that actually I came into Krishna consciousness because I wanted somebody to help me to correct my life. But instead of my life is to be corrected by others, we start thinking the goal of my life is to correct others. Let me help this person. And in this whole process, you get drowned and you really forget your goal. I'm reminded of this one pastime in Prabhupada's biography. One devotee made kachoris for Prabhupada, but Prabhupada said, I don't want to eat them now, keep them in the kitchen, I'll take them tomorrow. So the devotee was telling the Mataji in the kitchen, you know, I'm keeping the kachoris here. So Mataji said, look, if you keep kachoris here, somebody's going to eat it, okay? Don't keep it there, it's not safe. He said, I don't know, take care, I'm going, I have other works to do. Next day when the devotee was searching for kachoris, there was no kachoris. So he said, Mataji, I told you na to see the kachoris. And she said, I also told you na that I won't see, take care of the kachoris. I don't know now who has taken it. Now Prabhupada is asking for the kachoris, what should I do? And they both are fighting and she says, I don't know. I told you yesterday only that kachoris are not safe here. Anybody will come and take it. So now he said, what should I tell Prabhupada? So the Mataji said, tell Prabhupada, the cat has eaten the kachoris. So the devotee went and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the cat ate the kachoris. And then Prabhupada said, tell the person who said that, the cat ate kachoris, that person has eaten the kachoris. So the devotee came and said that Prabhupada said, the person who said cat has eaten the kachori has eaten the kachori. Now this Mataji was like, I have no, who cares for the kachoris? I can make so many kachoris, I have not eaten. So now, what she could have done is, she could have gone fighting with the devotee, get angry, leave the kitchen. What she did at that moment, okay, she was a little bit like, oh, but I haven't. She said, okay, fine, what's the problem? Kachoris, right? I'll make them right now. Immediately she took a dough, make fresh kachoris, sent it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada ate 7 kachoris. And then at last Prabhupada said, these are very nice and tasty and yummy and better than yesterday's kachoris. So Prabhupada said, who made it? It's very, very nice and better than yesterday's kachori. Now just see what happened. She just focused on goal, not on impediments. What is required here? Kachoris, right? I'll make it. She didn't take it personally. Oh, forget about kachoris. Why did they blame me? Now I'm going to cry. You know, she didn't do that. If that just attitude change can happen, the community can become so happy. But the problem with us is, if it was we in her place, it would have been a big issue. At least 1 month, don't come to the temple. At least 1 month we'll not go to the temple. How dare I never ate the kachoris? How can you blame me like that? So this is what happens to us. So focus the goal. What's the goal? Let's keep small things will keep on happening once in a while, but we shouldn't lose focus on our goal. Okay, another point is do not criticize. This is one thing, you know, we shouldn't become like, you know, like there's so many examples in the scriptures. There is guna ekadarshi, dosha ekadarshi, guna dosha darshi, dosha guna darshi. Some people, they see only bad, bad, bad in others, like Duryodhan. Or some people see only good, good, good in others, like Yudhishthir. Or some people see even bad as good, you know. One sadhu, he was having a blanket in Vrindavan, sleeping at the bank of Yamuna, shivering, you know, in the cold night, winter night. And there was some thief who came and took away the, this is by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says this story. And he says somebody came and took away his blanket. Now, instead of getting angry, he was saying, the thief is so nice, na? Because if he wanted, he had sharp knife, he could have killed me. But he didn't kill me, simply took the blanket, he's so good quality. Now, some devotees are like that. Even in bad, they can only see good. Of course, even if we can't come to that stage, at least we should make a proper balance, you know. At least, okay, see good as good and bad as bad and try to magnify the good and reduce the bad. The other thing to have a flourishing community is to keep an attitude of forget and forgive. It's so important. The scriptures say, Narasya abharnam rupam, rupasya abharnam gunam, gunasya abharnam gnanam, gnanasya abharnam shama. Says, what is the use if a woman is not beautiful? Woman means she should be beautiful. That's her ornamentation. Then second line they say, but what's the use if the woman is beautiful but she doesn't have good qualities? Woman means her ornament is she should have good qualities. And the third line they say, but what's the use if she has qualities but she doesn't have gnanam? That means she doesn't have the knowledge. What is the real knowledge? That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then they say, what is the use if she has all that knowledge but she's not able to forgive others? Then what's the point? So the ornamentation of a lady is she should be able to forgive. That's a beautiful quality of course, that's a beautiful quality of every human being. But since I'm addressing Vaishnavis here, beautiful. The beautiful, the beauty of a lady is not the color of her skin or the features of her, you know, face, but how forgiving she can be, how tolerating, how patient, how sweet. That is the ornament of a Vaishnavi. So, of course, I can go on and on like that. But another two, three important things is for a community is to have gratitude, which is very important because we all have very short memories. We forget what this devotee did for us 2 years back or that devotee did for us. And if we keep like this short, not only devote, imagine the whole Krishna conscious process, if we don't keep gratitude, What Srila Prabhupada has done for us, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. In fact, Chaitanya Charitamritam was written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami when he was 95 years old. He's telling that, you know, he says, as I'm writing, my hand is shaking, I can't hear properly, I can't see properly, my hand is shaking, somehow I'm writing this book. So if we have gratitude for this whole parampara, how these people have worked so hard for us. 18 years Rupa Goswami took to write the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for us, which is such a big guidance for devotees. What should we do? How should we progress in our Krishna consciousness? And just to get one bona fide authentic copy of Chaitanya Charitamritam, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, 11 years he had to struggle. And then we know our Srila Prabhupada, lifetime in preparation, right from 1922 meeting his Guru Maharaj to 1933 taking initiation to 1944, right, you know, starting the Back to Godhead magazine to 1955 taking Vanaprastha to 1966 starting the ISKCON movement, and then 1977 he leaves the body, and within 10 years opening 108 centers around the world in ripe old age, traveling the whole globe 14 times over. If you just remember all this on regular basis, we'll be full of gratitude that, oh my God, what am I doing for small little things? How can I give up a community, or how can I not be enthusiastic in rendering service? Oh, the whole parampara has worked so hard to get a fool like me, an unqualified person like me, connected to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has not slept so many nights writing those translation and puppets for me, that so that I can understand about Krishna. And how can I be so silly for just this small little thing? I give up my Krishna consciousness and I don't chant my rounds properly. How can I do that? And if we keep that gratitude in our mind, then we'll be so enthusiastic, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So like that, we have to be positive, we have to be faithful, we have to have patience, and we have to, you know, be Krishna conscious ourselves, make others Krishna conscious, be selfless, take the whole community together, give up our small ego, see the focus on the goal, keep the, you know, keep the, see the biggest challenge is to keep the biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. And with this I end it here. That's the take home. The biggest challenge is to keep the biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is how should we go back to Krishna? That's the biggest challenge. But the biggest challenge in our life is that we are not able to keep that biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. We are taking small things in our life and getting busy with that, and we are forgetting this is the biggest challenge. How am I going to get out of this world that I am stuck in? How am I going to go back home, back to God? And that's the biggest challenge. So when we keep that goal in our life, then every other things that's happening around us is going to become so small. So focus on that. And Kali Yuga is Sanghe Shakti. We need the Sangha, all of us together, you know, like united we stand. Together if we do, together in Mangalarti, together in Sandhyarti, together in Sadhana, together in Yatras, together in Prasadam, together in singing and dancing, and together we shout for, oh Krishna, you know, we want you and we want to come back home. And then definitely he's going to respond, you know, he can't ignore so many people together, you know, calling out for him. So with this I end it here. Thank you so much for listening very patiently, and I just hope that this session helps you in some or the other way for your community. Thank you so much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Okay, so your question is, how do we develop the right attitude? Of course, this is again another whole session that we can go on, but if you want to give you some practical tip, how to develop the right attitude. I feel it's more about the more you hear and the more you are conscious of Krishna, and the better your attitude gets. The attitude goes in the wrong direction only when Krishna is out of our consciousness. If we are connected to Krishna, then nothing else will make difference. For example, you know, nowadays children, they all the time, you know, are plugged with those earphones and headsets, you know, with their cell phones and hearing some music. Now imagine some child is hearing some music in some room and you go and knock the door. The child is not able to hear. And then finally the child opens the door and you may shout, "What is this? I've been calling you for prasadam, you know, and you're not even..." They say, "Sorry, mama, I didn't know. I was just hearing so loud. I could not hear what you were saying." This is the same thing that happens in our life. When you are connected, you know, you are connected to Krishna, then what happens around you doesn't make any difference. The only problem is when you are disconnected. Then you can hear everything, you know. That's the problem, the attitude. If you are feeling hurt, offended, you want respect, all that negative attitude comes when the disconnection. You're not connected to Krishna. But if you're connected to Krishna just now, then everything else becomes gona, you know, becomes secondary. Like something like, let me tell you, if somebody got a, you know, somebody got a bonus in his office, you know, his salary is increased. Now that day you should see his mood, you know, or that Mataji's mood. She'll come home and she's in seventh heaven, and if the servant maid or somebody has broken a crockery or anything, you know, she'll be like, "It's okay, it happens." And people will be wondering, "What's with her today? She's so sweet." It's just that because she got something higher, now smaller things are not making difference. So the whole point is, when your Shravanam and Kirtanam is too good and your source of happiness is Krishna, and you are so rich with that experience and you're so rich with that beautiful feeling, that now small things don't make difference. Now if somebody comes and makes a comment on you, it just doesn't make any difference because you're in love. You're so much connected with Krishna. You're so happy. You are in one mood. You know, when somebody comes and tells, "It's okay. Doesn't matter what they think about me. Doesn't matter what they tell." But the problem is, if the connection is not there, then everything will matter. The fact that Mataji didn't smile at me yesterday after Mangalarti when she was chanting under the tree is also so important for me now, because now she is the source of my happiness and he is the source of my happiness, and because I've changed the source. And the problem is that these sources which I'm looking for, They are not reservoir of water, they are empty wells, dry wells, but I'm trying to extract something. That's why there is no satisfaction. And here is Krishna, who is reservoir of all pleasure and happiness. And if I try to take from him, I'll be enriched and I'll be nourished. Now coming to my personal life, I think reading Bhagavatam is has helped me a lot. You know, regularly reading and hearing Bhagavatam gives me a lot of inspiration, because Bhagavatam is not like some empty discourse. You know, they have those pastimes of devotees, what happened in their life and still how they could go on, and that inspires so much. Just a few couple of days ago, I was hearing one very nice class by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was Prabhupada was saying that Narad Muni was taunting Krishna. Narad Muni was telling Krishna, your devotees, Pandavas, they're very happy. Their wife has been insulted, their kingdom has been taken away, and they are now moving around from one forest to another. But don't know what hypnotism you have done on them, that every single moment their love for you keeps on increasing and keeps on increasing. What did you do? That means Narad Muni is trying to say that no matter how much trouble that they are put in, this their love for you is increasing day by day and not decreasing. What hypnotism you have done? So now when we hear like this pastimes from Bhagavatam and we see how the devotee's life, whether it's Mirabai or Tukaram or Jaidev Goswami or the Pandavas or Kunti Devi, if you keep on hearing and the way they handle themselves during rehearsals, how they interacted and all, and then reading the lives of other devotees, you know, in our movement also, and reading Prabhupada's biography, and you know, all this together, it'll inspire so much. Just the hearing and chanting can cleanse our heart and give us a clarity in thinking and changes our vision, because it's just like if you wear a spectacle which is red in color, you'll see the whole world red. If you wear a green color spectacles, you see the whole world green. But the whole point is we are wearing the spectacles of Maya. But the moment we start reading Bhagavatam, then the spectacles become clear, crystal clear, and now you see things as they are supposed to be seen. You know, I like this one bhajan of Narasimha Mehta. He says, जागिने जो तो जगत दिसे नहीं उंघमाट पटा भोग भासे. Very beautiful. He says, जागिने जो तो, when I am conscious in knowledge, when I see the world, I see it different. But when I am sleeping in the lap of Maya, then I see the whole world differently. So if there is no Shravanam and Kirtanam, you see the world differently. You know, you see the world with the anesthesia of Maya, then everything affects you. But when you are in, you know, reading and chanting and all, then you see the world in a different way. Of course, I don't know if I could satisfy you, because it's such a huge subject. I just said whatever I can say in this given time. Okay, so your question is that sometimes when we try to correct somebody, they may feel offended. But our intention is not to offend them. As Bhakti Vriksha leader, our whole intention is to help them in their journey of Krishna consciousness. So how do we do it in the right way that they don't get offended? So the whole thing is, there are so many things that work here. It's not only external, the way we talk and the body language, there's also something which works in the inside. When our inside, we have sincere motive of only helping, but no way is this, you know, to satisfy our ego or superiority, or to, you know, that, you know, I know better than you. Definitely that will also have an impact. So, you know, inside your sincere desire is that I just want to help this devotee. And then again, the external, there are so many factors like the body language, the way you put it. Like there are certain tips, like Prabhupada taught us that before you tell anybody is their fault, you first appreciate, you know, like that's what you see in our Bhagavatam classes also. Before you approach a speaker, you first say, oh, you gave so good class, and then you ask the question. But I'm not convinced about this. So that's how we approach, you know, first we appreciate. See, I feel personally, if you have invested enough in a devotee, invested enough in a devotee, then you can withdraw. If you haven't invested and you simply withdraw, then the check will bounce. If you write a check in the bank, you have to make sure that your account has enough money. If you write empty check, the check will bounce. That means before correcting affection, you have given so much affection to that person, that now when you make a withdrawal, you know, you have made already so many deposits with that person, that now when you make one withdrawal, he or she is not going to mind it. But even before making a deposit in the bank, you want to withdraw, then that's a problem. So it should be done like that. So much affection should be given, and it should be done in a motherly way. Just like we correct our children, you know, it should be like that. Our whole attitude should be like that. And it should be done in a proper way. First, appreciation, investment, affection. It should be done secrecy. That means not publicly. It should be done in a such a way that, you know, others don't know that this is that person's fault. Sometimes we may make that mistake also. You know, maybe we didn't realize when we were correcting this person, some other person was walking in the room, and that makes this person feel more bad. That she told in front of him, why she told in front of him, you know, or her. So sometimes you have to be so careful, you know, because everybody has different sensibility levels, you know. Some people are very sensitive, or some people are not. They'll not mind if you say something. Some people mind. So depending upon their temperaments, if we know this person is very sensitive, like our children, you know, we'll not chastise them in public if they've done something wrong at some house program or some temple. At home you'll say, but this was not correct, you shouldn't have done that. But same thing we do it with our Bhakti Vriksha or congregation also. Like with the motherly love and affection, I want to correct them, but I don't want that publicly others should know that this is their fault. So bring them separately and say, but this is what has happened, maybe you can do it like this. So of course this is body language, it's about the sentence formation, it's an art. If you can just, you know, do it properly, and of course your intention should be in the heart should be pure, and then of course ultimately you should pray to Krishna that may the right words come out at the right time, and I really don't want to offend any Vaishnava, I just want to help this person, but this needs to be told, because as a leader it's your responsibility. According to the scriptures, a teacher, a husband, a guru, a husband, or certain people have right to correct you, and there is no offense in that. Sometimes they have to be a little stern, but just for your good, and then you don't get offense. So if you are in a position of a leader and they all look forward to be corrected by you, and they are under your shelter, then as a guru, if you don't do that, will also be injustice, because they're looking forward to be sculpted by you, to be trained by you. So when a beautiful sculpture has to come out, the stone has to be beaten, otherwise the beautiful sculpture will not come out. So sometimes a little stern action has to be taken, sometimes they have to be chastised, but it should be done in a very, you know, depending from person to person. Just like a doctor, he really knows whom to deal, how much dose to give, and somebody he may say take two paracetamols, to somebody he may say okay, one paracetamol should do your job. So since you yourself are a Bhakti Vriksha leader, you can really understand, okay, this guy needs this much dose, and then he needs maybe little more affection, maybe he needs a little more appreciation, he'll do the job, and he needs this. So who needs what, according to that the doctor needs to change the treatment, and that's it. And pray to Krishna that we don't, you know, unconsciously hurt anybody, and we shouldn't try to kill the mosquito with machine gun. There are mosquitoes in my room and I just go with the machine gun, I don't know if the mosquitoes will die or not, but the people will die inside. And sometimes this is what we do in the name of leadership, and then operation is successful but the patient dies. So that should not happen. Yeah. But last, okay. Can you go again?
To what extent should one tolerate?
Okay, now what extent should one tolerate? This is a very important question. Every situation, there is three things you can do. You can migrate, you can tolerate, or you can mitigate. For example, I'm in Kashmir, and it's very cold here in Jammu and Kashmir. So what I can do? I can migrate, just go to Kanyakumari, this is very cold for me. Or I can mitigate, just wear a sweater and wear a shawl and protect myself. So either I can migrate, or I can mitigate, or I can tolerate, because I know this is Kashmir and it's going to be cold like this, or whatever, it's Canada and it's going to be cold like this. So like that, in every situation, just see what are the possibilities. Is it possible that you can escape this situation? Then leave the situation. If you see no, there is no escaping, there is no solution, then some things have to be endured. Now it depends from case to case, because I cannot give you a, you know, like, okay, every situation you have to tolerate. Krishna's devotee means they're very intelligent. So they see, because at the same time, when I use the word tolerate, I'm not asking about tolerating abuses. Sometimes there are physical abuses in relationships, and there are so many such complex problems. I'm talking about a general principle. The general principle is we should try to tolerate. At the same time, it should not go to an extent where you are discouraged in your Krishna consciousness. For example, you are associating with a particular leader or a particular devotee, and he or she is abusive, and she is not very nice, and just her association itself is not encouraging you in Krishna consciousness. And every time that you come in contact with her, you feel more depressed and low about yourself, and you don't feel inspired to do. Then you should maintain safe distance, you know, said Hare Krishna from far off, and just be away. So like that, you know, with different devotees you should have different level of relationship. With those whom you feel very inspired, you should try to regularly take association with them and take nourishment. For those you don't feel inspired, you just be, you know, have working relationship. Whatever you have to do, you do with them. So like that, it depends from situation to situation. The whole point is your focus is how is your Krishna consciousness going with, you know, if I'm tolerating this. Like for example, if there are small little things, like I'll just tell you one small example of husband and wife. You know, the regular problem with husbands is after taking bath, they'll put the wet towel here and there, you know. Now you will say, you know, Mataji said tolerate, so okay, how many times I'll tell him, it takes me 1 minute, I'll dry it myself, it solves all the problem. Otherwise morning we both will start fighting and the whole thing will become bitter and my chanting will be disturbed. I'll do it, it's okay, small little thing. Or he doesn't put the shoes in the rack, okay, I'll do it, little thing. I've been telling him 20 years, no point, like that. So depends on what degree of things, you know. But at the same time, you know, I'm not talking about abuses. So this is something where I'm going from this whole, you know, this whole ratio, something very small like as towel or something so big as physical abuse. So just see in between, you know, where if by tolerating this is going to save time and you're going to do more japa and you can read your Bhagavatam properly, this is helping you, then tolerate. But if it's not helping you, it's just causing more disturbance to your mind, then share it with somebody and ask them to help you, you know, what should I go, in which direction should I go? Because sometimes when we see our problems, we see them like this. When somebody else sees our problem, the third person, he sees like a bird's view, like an aerial view, which we can't see for ourselves. Because for us, we are always right and we are always pure devotee, and the other person is always wrong. So the third person can see the, you know, properly and can tell us, you know, where we are going wrong. So that way we can take guidance and go. But the general principle should be to try to tolerate as much and not waste time, because we are in hurry. This is something like there is a fire in the house, and at that time you don't want to argue that why did you wear the blue color sari, I told you I don't like this color. Now this is not the time to argue, the house is burning, let's get out. This is what is happening, the house is burning, we need to go back home, back to God as soon as possible, and this is not the time to argue. But if there's certain things which are really important and hindrance to your Krishna consciousness, go ahead and just try to sort them out. But if there are small little things, just ignore. We don't have that much time. We need to just run, you know. That should be your general principle. But then again, I've made a very vague statement, because I don't know what's your situation. But general thing is, see, if you tolerate, Krishna likes it. If you let go, Krishna likes it. You know this verse in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter, verse number 14, in Brahma's prayer, it says, Tat tenu kampa susamikshamanu. పుంజాన ఏవాత్మకృతం విపాకం హృద్వాగ్వపుభిర్దదన్ విదధన్ నమస్తే జీవేతి యో ముక్తిపదే సదాయ భాగ్. కృష్ణ బ్రహ్మసేస్ తత్తేను కంపాసు సమీక్షమానో. కృష్ణ, యు లైక్ దట్ డివోటీ హూ లెట్ గోస్, హూ జస్ట్ టాలరేట్స్. తత్తేను కంపాసు సమీక్షమానో భూంజాన ఏవాత్మకృతం విపాకం. And while tolerating, he doesn't even blame you. He doesn't even say, Krishna, why did you put me in this situation? He says, this is all my karma. Because of my previous karma, I am suffering. At the same time, he is not lazy. Hritvag vapubhir. With his heart, with his body, with his words and mind, he is offering obeisances to you. And he is telling you, oh Krishna, I am waiting patiently for your mercy. Please show your mercy. So he is actively serving you. Patiently waiting for your mercy, not blaming you for whatever happening in his life, just thinking as previous karma. And that devotee who is in this frame of mind, Brahma says, Jiveti yo mukti pade sadai bhag. Oh, he has become a rightful heir of going back home, back to Godhead. The moment he leaves the body, he's going to go back home, back to God. Just like Sridhar Swami says in the commentary, just like a legitimate son of a father, he doesn't have to go and register himself in any office. The moment the father dies, all the property goes to son. Similarly, this kind of a devotee, the moment he leaves body, he doesn't have to go and apply to Brahma or Indra. Directly, he goes back home, back to Godhead, because he has tolerated. Krishna also says to Arjuna, Tam titikshasva bharata, Arjuna, tolerate. Everything cannot be mitigated. We cannot migrate from situation. Some things has to be tolerated. And person who tolerates, Krishna loves them. He likes them. And he shows his special mercy on those kind of devotees. So if it's tolerable, we should tolerate. I hope this helps.
Krishna, 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 lage. Sab Krishna, 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 lage. Sab Krishna, 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 lage. Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.